We come to you. We ask that this morning you would meet us. By the power of your Spirit, come and touch each one of our hearts. Lift us up. Lift our gaze up from the things that have weighed us down this week and ensnared us this week. Lift us up to see you in your power, your glory, your greatness. But we need a fresh touch from you. We get tired. We get weary. We see all the evil around us, Lord. But we know that you are always good, you are always trustworthy, and we run to you. Now bless this time as we open your word. Bless this time as we talk about you and as we set our hearts towards you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, it's good to be with you after a couple of weeks of being away, and I'm so thankful that you are the people I get to run after Jesus with. We've been on a journey, each of us, as the Lord has called us and invited us to be in a relationship with Him. The Lord has used different things to teach us and explain to us both Himself and our need for Him. There are times when things that are so valuable are not recognized as being valuable. I grew up in a church where every Sunday we'd use the Lord's Prayer. And I really stopped valuing it as I became a young adult. I thought, this is part of a ritual that became meaningless as I just mindlessly recited it. But for the last 20 years or so, I've been on a journey trying to figure out how to pray and how to connect with God and how to enter into a more intimate relationship with Him. And I have grown to see the Lord's Prayer as the greatest prayer ever given. The Lord's Prayer, taught by Jesus, given to us to teach us how to pray. In the book of Luke chapter 11, Jesus was praying and the disciples came to him after he finished praying and said, "Lord, teach us how to pray." And Jesus said, "When you pray, say," and then he gave us the Lord's Prayer. In other words, Jesus said, "Say these words." And we have learned to do that. We say the words of the Lord's Prayer. And there's great value in that. And we're going to do that together as we end our time together. We're going to conclude by saying the Lord's Prayer. And I encourage you to say it, not just with your mouth, but say it with your heart and say it with your spirit. But I don't think it was the only time Jesus taught about the Lord's Prayer. In fact, in the book of Matthew, Jesus gives us the Lord's Prayer there. And in that context, Jesus is on this mountainside. He's giving the Sermon on the Mount. He's having these stupendous, amazing teachings about who are the blessed ones and how it is we are to live as Christ's followers. And there he gives us the Lord's Prayer pattern as well. But this time when he introduces it, he doesn't say this is what to say. He says this is how you should pray. So in Luke we get a say this, what to say. And in Matthew, we get how to pray. How is more of a structure? How is more of a pattern? How is more of a method of prayer? So I encourage you to journey with me into a growing season of prayer as we learn from the Lord's Prayer all the different aspects of prayer. How to pray the full will of God. How to come before Him in a prayer that's more than just one dimension. But I think you could say that the Lord's Prayer is really seven different aspects of prayer. The Lord Jesus Christ elsewhere said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer." And so we can use the analogy of God's house being a house of prayer and see the Lord's Prayer as moving through God's house into seven different rooms of prayer. So how does the Lord's Prayer start? Jesus said, this is how you should pray. And he says, pray, "Our Father who art in heaven." That's the first part of the Lord's Prayer. You could consider it the entryway of the house of prayer. It's how you enter into a connection with and a conversation with God. And Jesus says, when you pray, say, "Our Father who art in heaven." Our Father is a unique phrase. God was maybe at best 11 to 14 times referred to as Father. But only when you turn into the New Testament do you have this invitation to say our Father, not our God, not our stupendous ruler from heaven, not this one we're afraid of, but Jesus said, pray our Father. What is that? That's a relationship. The first room in the house of prayer is relationship. All prayer must start out of a relationship. Prayer that doesn't start with relationship is just hollow religious words. And we know there's plenty of those. There's plenty of things that are supposedly prayer, but they're just religious words. There's no relationship. We're called, invited, to pray to the one who loves us, like a father loves his child. When you enter into the house of prayer, you say, our Father, and you're reconnecting with him, you're reestablishing, you're receiving again his love. The Lord's Prayer starts with relationship. Our Father who art in heaven. The second room of the house of prayer is a room with the highest ceiling. It's where we say, hallowed be thy name. We pray the name of God. As you read through your scripture, you'll see numerous names of God listed. Each name of God is like a different facet on a diamond that reflects a different aspect of God's amazing character. When we pray, we say, hallowed be your name. May your name be lifted up. May your name be made holy. May your name be reverenced. We pray in his name, and that's how we enter into this high tower. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and we worship him. So the second room is worship. We start with relationship, and quickly we move into worship. Once we are aware of our connection to him, all he's done for us and his love for us, we can't but help to worship him. Now, a lot of us end our prayers in Jesus' name, amen. Jesus told us to pray in his name, and that's an excellent thing, but I encourage you not to leave it till the end, but put it right there, almost in the very beginning, where we're worshiping his name, recognizing his name, celebrating his name. Every aspect of God's name is an encounter with God. An encounter with God. The relationship leads to a greater understanding of God, and then his names reveal the different aspects of his character to us. We worship his name. What comes next? After relationship and after worshiping him, we enter into the third room of the house of prayer where we're saying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're celebrating his lordship, and we're inviting his lordship. We're saying, Lord, we want your will done in my own life and in my family and in my community and around the world. We're asking for God's rule to be made ever more evident and to be played out ever more fully. It's God's kingdom and God's will that we're seeking. And then we move to the center room of the house of prayer. Room number four, right in the middle, is where we're presenting before him our physical needs. Some call this room the sonship room, where we're recognizing that we're sons and our Father meets our needs, our physical needs and our spiritual needs. We say, give us this day our daily bread. We all have a need for daily sustenance, whether it's food or health or provision. Requesting those from God, lifting up our hands and saying, God, I have a need for daily food is an appropriate thing. And so we ask for that. But we also say, Lord, meet my spiritual needs. Not just my physical needs, but Lord, meet my spiritual needs. I need forgiveness. First and foremost, I need forgiveness from God because I have been a man who has wandered away, who have been caught up in temptations and snares. I need a God who is willing to graciously forgive. And Jesus taught us to pray, Father, forgive us our sins. And then we move into the fifth room of the house of prayer where we're celebrating that God wants to restore relationships. We call this the fellowship room. We say this amazing thing, forgive me my sins just as I forgive those who have sinned against me. This is part of God's prayer pattern that we're talking about and dealing with the hurts, the pains, the things that have happened between us and other people. We're saying, God, forgive those who have hurt me and help me to forgive those who have hurt me. In the Lord's Prayer, we're taught to deal with our estranged relationships and to seek for God to restore fellowship. And then we're invited into the next room where we're able to say, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Some translations translate that word evil as just evil as an entity. Other translators say it's one of those personalized words where it's evil as a being. And so it's translated evil one. Whether it's translated evil or evil one, in both cases we know that it's the devil himself, Satan himself, who is the source of evil. So really what we're saying there in that room is we're asking God to bring us freedom from sin and freedom from Satan. Freedom from the sins that ensnare us and tempt us and trip us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. We're asking for victory over temptation and deliverance from the devil's tactics. And then we come to the last room in the house of prayer, the seventh room. And if you read the margins of your Bible and the commentator's comments, you'll see that the ending of the Lord's Prayer really isn't in the original manuscripts. It's this beautiful conclusion that was added by the church, and we appreciate it. And the ending is biblical. It occurs in three or four other verses. And Jesus maybe even said it himself, but the original authors of the Gospel of Luke and Matthew didn't include this. But we end the prayer by saying, "For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen." It's like we're wrapping it all up and saying, "It's all yours, God." So we're celebrating your ownership of everything. So what is that? That's the Lord's Prayer pattern. That's the Lord Jesus Christ saying, either when you pray, say these words, or in Matthew, when you pray, pray this way. Pray through these stages. Pray through these steps. Pray through these ideas so that you're praying this complete prayer. In every one of the rooms of the house of prayer, we receive. In the opening room, we receive this relationship with God. We receive the love of the Father. I need a fresh dose of the love of the Father every day. Every morning I wake up, I want to say, God, let me feel your love. Let me receive your love. Let me sense your love. Let me walk out the rest of my day in the reality that I'm here at the very beginning saying, I'm the loved one of God. I'm God's beloved. And I am his, and he is mine. I receive the Father's love as I start my day in prayer. And secondly, I move into this second room of worship, and I receive a fresh infusion of his name and all the greatness. I receive him as Jehovah, and him as Jehovah Jireh, him as El Shaddai, and all the different names of God. Him as the one that's truth, him as the one that's love. I receive his name and all the dimensions of it. And maybe in this room I'm saying, Lord, give me an aspect of your character to focus on again and afresh this day as I journey into it. So I receive the Father's name. And I enter into the kingdom room and in the lordship room. I say, Lord, I want your kingdom to come in my life today. I'm receiving your kingdom in my situation at work, in my situation with my family. I receive your kingdom in my community. As I walk through my town, I claim this now as your kingdom breaking forth in ever-increasing power. And it's easy to receive in the fourth room of sonship where we're receiving our daily bread and we're receiving our forgiveness. We're receiving not as paupers, not as street urchins, not as people who are isolated and separated from their heavenly Father like an orphan, but someone who is a dearly beloved son. I say, I have needs, Father. And we pray it with arms lifted up, knowing we're going to receive what we need from God. And of course, we receive forgiveness. And what a joy it would be in the fellowship room to receive restored relationships, healed connections between brothers and sisters and family members. And we receive God's leadership as he does guide us throughout the day. So we're able to say no to those temptations. We're able to be set free from the devil's schemes. We need that to receive each day, that power, that enablement, the ability to to live free from all that the devil throws at us. So we receive, we receive, we receive, we come to the end, and as a conclusion to our prayer, we say, Lord, thank you for all I've received. I give it all back to you. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory, and I celebrate your ownership of it all. It's a celebration of God. It's a complete prayer. But it's not just words to say. It is not just things we receive. Really, what prayer is an encounter with God. We're not just talking, we're meeting. We're not just reciting words, we're entering into a relationship with Him. And so the Lord's Prayer pattern is an invitation to encounter God. Different aspects of God as we move through God's house of prayer. We're encountering Him as our loving Heavenly Father. Lord, I want to see you, hear you, meet you today. I welcome you. I encounter you as my loving Heavenly Father, and I encounter all the different aspects of your grandeur, your greatness, and I worship you because you're so worthy of it, and I am encountering you in your magnitude and your amazingness. I'm encountering you as the one who is King and whose will is being accomplished on earth, and I live in this reality of a relationship with you, and I encounter you as my daily provider. I'm not begging, I'm thanking you for all that you've done for me and all that you've blessed me with, and I'm receiving you as my forgiver. And I'm receiving you and encountering you as the one who reconciles my relationships, as the one who is actively at work to bring about reconciliation between those who I've struggled with, who I've had wars with, who I've had battles with. I thought about this truth as we were in Armenia, where there's this people who on either side are being oppressed. The Armenian people have a neighbor who killed off 1.5 million of them and drove countless other millions off of the land and into other parts of the world. An ongoing heartache and pain in their hearts that would be as they're trying to figure out how to live for God. They need a fresh encounter with the God that can bring about healing and restoration and reconciliation and enable them to say, Lord, I forgive those who have sinned against me. We need to encounter that God who restores fellowship and empowers us to forgive if we're going to continue to be effective in ministry. And then we encounter the God who does give us victory over temptation, who does give us victory over all the devil's schemes, the God who taught us that if we resist the devil, he will flee from you. We encounter God in each one of those rooms. Notice also how the Lord's Prayer is sequential. There's an order to it. There's a reason you start in the first room and celebrate a relationship. For it's when you have a relationship with God and are reminded again of your relationship with God that He then can lead you into every other aspect of prayer. We start by celebrating that God loves us. We are His child. We are owned by Him. We belong to Him. We're wrapped up in Him. And as His son or as His daughter, we can then proceed to worship Him, not as someone who's cowering in fear, but someone who knows we're invited to come into the very throne room, receive grace and mercy in our time of need. And so out of the sense of being loved, we can then worship. And one who has worshiped, and one who has celebrated, is then able to say, Lord, we do want your kingdom. We do ask for your kingdom to come in my own circle and in the extended circles and even around the world. We ask for the kingdom. We can ask for that because we've worshiped Him and recognized His greatness. And we can worship Him because we received His love afresh and anew. There's a sequence that God is bringing us into. And then we come to the fourth room and say, Lord, I do have needs. You told me to tell you my needs. I tell you my needs not as one who's fearful, but one who knows I'm dearly loved, who has worshiped your name, who has celebrated and asked for your kingdom. And so I ask for bread so I can accomplish your kingdom, and I move into healed relationships because God has done this amazing forgiveness of me, and I know I'm dearly loved. So because of that, because of all that's happened so far in my prayer, I'm able to say, Lord, I do forgive those who have hurt me. I'm not denying the pain, but I'm just saying I recognize who I am. I'm yours. I'm dearly loved. I'm part of your family. I'm part of this aspect of your redeemed that's able to recognize your greatness, and it's your kingdom I most want, and I know you're meeting all my needs, and I know you've forgiven me, so because of that, God, I can forgive. And as a forgiven person, I can then stand against the devil. Matthew 7 tells us The scripture tells us, and I'll look at my notes here eventually, that if we do not forgive, if we do not get rid of our anger towards a person before the sun goes down, it's as if we're giving the devil a toehold in our life. If we don't forgive, it's real possible that we won't be able to fight against the devil. And so it's essential that as we move through the sequence of the Lord's Prayer, we receive forgiveness, and then we extend forgiveness, and then we're able to be in a position of standing against the devil's schemes and against all the temptations he throws at us. See, there's a sequence to this prayer the Lord Jesus Christ taught us. It's the perfect prayer. All prayer is in the Lord's Prayer. Everything you might want to think about praying is in one of those rooms of the Lord's Prayer. But I didn't always pray this way. I wasn't taught to pray this way. Even though I grew up saying the Lord's Prayer every week, I didn't really understand how to pray. I wouldn't spend any time in the first room or the receiving the relationship. I didn't understand the Father's love. I didn't understand what it meant to be someone who truly worships, and in my highest calling is to be someone that worships Him. I didn't understand how to ask for and walk in and receive the kingdom. All I would do when I would pray is I'd say, "Good morning, God," and I'd go right into this fourth room and say, "God, I'm hungry. God, I need bread. God, I need money. God, I need health. God, I need strength. God, I need guidance. I need. And I just recite all my needs to God. And when you recite all your needs to God and all your problems to God, you know what you're focusing on? Your needs and your problems. My prayer wasn't helpful at all. I'd come into this room and say, "God, I have this problem and this situation," and I'd recite them all. I'd even sometimes use a list to write them all down on it, so I'd remember every single one of my problems. And I'd leave prayer discouraged and depressed, and I'd just run out of the room saying, "Goodbye, God, it's yours," and I'm really feeling rotten now after praying about all those horrible things that are going on in my life. That type of prayer is focused on self. It's focused on problems. It's focused on the situations on the world. On the world stage, rather than focusing on God. And God has had to do a transformation in my own life, understanding what it means to pray the Lord's Prayer pattern and to receive His love. There's some days where I never even get out of this room. I just say, "Good morning, God. Thank you for being my Father who loves me. Help me to relish the fact that you love me, that you care about me, that you've claimed me as your own, that you've made me your child, that whatever I go through this day, I'm doing so as yours. I'm not fighting any battles on my own. I'm yours, God, and I'm dearly loved. In fact, you're singing over me, 'You love me so much.'" And if I can, I progress into worship. "God, you are so amazingly wonderful. Help me to see new aspects of your love. I recognize your love and your mercy and your grace and your strength." And I can go on and on as I let those scriptures guide my prayers and reveal new facets of God's character that are worthy of lifting up. And then it's His kingdom I really want to see happening on earth. It's His will being done that's most important to me. I want that to happen in my life, in your life, in our community's life, around the world. We want the kingdom to be coming in power and glory. So I can progress through the Lord's Prayer. And when I get to the room where I say, "Lord, I have a need for daily bread," I do it with a sense of thankfulness. "Lord, you know what I need even before I ask it. And you ask me to be humble about my needs and present for you. I'm not begging. I'm thanking you, God, with a confidence that you will meet my needs. And God has met my needs, and God is meeting your needs." We pray with joy. We pray with gratitude. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ did everything through prayer. The disciples saw this. The disciples noticed it. They said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And so the Lord gave us his prayer pattern. 7 rooms in the house of prayer to journey through, that we might walk with God as the people of God, receiving all the provision of God to do the very will of God, to be part of his kingdom plan, part of his move here in the end days to bring awakening around the world and reviving of his church, so that we're participants in God's plan of reaching the lost in the last nations of the world. The Lord's Prayer pattern guides us as we pray. What do you think? Should we pray? Pray with me as Luke writes. When you pray, say these words. Join me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you as you journey through prayer with him.